Okay. Yeah, welcome to everybody. Shalom Aleichem. So today, Mirtz Hashem, we will be finishing up Malachas Lash. Sorry about the dark background. It's a better room for me to be in. But we will, Mirtz Hashem, be finishing up Malachas Lash, and then we'll be up to Bishul, the big Malacha, after this one. So I just want to do a quick like 3-4 minute summary of last week's shiur, just the bottom line shittos, because we need them for today. So let's just quickly summarize what we discussed 2 weeks ago. In the last Chabura, we're discussing just what is the basic definition of Malachas Lash, because the issue is that we know Lash is somewhere in the process of taking flour and making it into dough, but the problem is that there really are two stages in the process of taking flour and making it into dough. Stage one is where you first pour the water into the flour. Stage two is where you then Gishmak, thank you. That's awesome. Stage two is where you then take that combination of flour and water, and you mix it and you knead it into a dough. And so the big question becomes, which of these two stages is Malachas Lash violated at? Is it stage one where you pour the water into the flour, or is it stage two where you knead that mixture into a dough? So this was a big time of Chlokes Tanaim between Rebbe versus Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda. So just to spell out the two basic shittos, shittos Rebbe we had was that Lash is always violated at stage one. When you pour the water into the mixture, when you pour the water into the flour, into the mixture, so that is when you violate Malachas Lash, according to Rebbe Midaraisa. After the water is poured in, if you then mix that mixture, the Chazanish learns in Rebbe that's only going to be Aser Midarabanan. But in terms of the Daraisa, in terms of Lash Midaraisa, that is violated at stage one when you pour the water into the mixture. And we also pointed out last time that this is true whether we're discussing a substance that's a bar gibel or a substance that's a lav bar gibel. What are these two types of substances? So a bar gibel, the word gibel means to knead. A bar gibel, kind of like, I guess, bar kamsa, a bar gibel is something that's susceptible to being kneaded into a firm cohesive mass, like dough. Flour is susceptible to being kneaded into a firm cohesive mass. That's called a bar gibel. A lav bar gibel, something that's not susceptible to being kneaded into a firm cohesive mass, is something like ashes. The Gemara says that ashes, if you pour water into ashes, no matter how much you mix this mixture, it's not going to turn into a firm cohesive mass like a dough. So that's called a lav bar gibel. So to finish off Rebbe Shita is that Lash is violated at stage one when you pour the water into these particles, whether it's a bar gibel like flour, whether it's a lav bar gibel like ashes, that is Lash Mida Araisa. So that was Shita number one. Shita number two we had was the Shita of Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda. He, as explained by the Amora Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda the Tana, as explained by the Amora Rav Yosef, holds that Lush only applies Midaraisa when it comes to a bar gibel, something that's susceptible, once again, to being made into a firm cohesive mass, and it applies at stage two. Not at stage one when you pour the water into the flour, that would only be Dirabanan. At stage two, when you have this combination of flour and water, and you mix it and knead it into a firm cohesive mass, so that is the violation of Lash Midaraisa according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. If we're dealing with Alav Bar Gibel, like ashes and water, so then Lash does not apply Midaraisa. You can't turn that into a firm cohesive mass. That's not going to be Lash Midaraisa. So those are two basic shittas in the Tanoim. When does Lash apply? What is the definition of Malachas Lash? Where does it apply? Rabbi says it applies at stage one when you pour the water into the particles, whether it's a Bar Gibel or Alav Bar Gibel. According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, it applies at stage two after the liquid was already combined with the flour, and you then knead it and mix it into a dough, that is Lash Midaraisa, and it only applies to a bar gibel. And just one last point from last week, just in terms of the hesber we had in this machlokas, so Mordechai pointed out beautifully, Kedarko Bakodesh, based on the Eglei Tal, that this hesber was totally on the basic definition of Malachas Lash. On a conceptual level, they're arguing about what's the definition of Malachas Lash, because the issue is that we know we have our two basic ingredients in Lash. Lash always typically involves a liquid with a solid. You have water with flour, two types of ingredients. And the question became, how do we put it together? What's the underlying yesod of Malachas Lash? We explained that according to Rebbe, who holds that Lash is violated stage one, he's holding that the yesod of Lash is about merging a liquid with a solid. When you merge a liquid with a solid, that is the definition of Malachas Lash. That's the yesod of Lash. Therefore, that always applies at stage one. When you pour the water into the flour, the water into the ashes, you're merging a liquid with the solid particles. That's the definition of Malachas Lash, according to Rebbe. As opposed to, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that the Yisod of Lush is not about merging liquid with solid, but solid with solid. Taking different solid particles, merging them together, that's the Yisod of Melechus Lush. Just, you're not going to usually be able to do that without a binding agent. So you're going to need a liquid, some type of binding agent to help you merge the solid particles together. But the Yisod of Lush is about merging the flour with the flour. And so that's why we have to wait till stage two. Because when you first pour the water into the flour, at that point, while the flour may start to stick a little bit together, it's not really going to fuse. It's not really going to merge until you start kneading and mixing this mixture. And that's why you have to wait till stage two, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So that was a quick synopsis just from last week, our basic two approaches as to the definition of Melechus Lush. And we pointed out the basic Hesber. Anyone not clear on the basic facts from last week, just because we're gonna work on it from this week. Yeah, Daniel, you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just curious though. Isn't the paradigm from the Mishnah, maybe I'm wrong, is the dough performed for the lachem apanim, right? So wouldn't that itself stand as a kasha on Rebbe?
Okay, so
it would need to be that final process.
Okay, so that's a geshmak kasha, you should know, but it's a really loaded question because the truth is that it's a machlokas, a huge machlokas Rishonim, where lach was in the Mishkan. Was it the dough for the lachem apanim? Or was it the herbs that were made for the dyes? So it's a big machlokas Rishonim as to where the Mishkan. So it's very hard to like really ask a kasha like that in a compelling way because you never know who you're working with. But it's a geshmak kasha. Okay. Fine. So those are just our basic shitas from last week. Okay. So let's now tonight, 2 weeks ago. So tonight we're going to now discuss three basic qualifications to Melechus Lush. So that's the agenda for tonight. To finish off the malacha, three basic qualifications to Melechus Lush. So let's start with qualification number one. The first qualification for tonight comes up from the Gemara on Kuf Nun Hei Amud Beis at the bottom, to Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph at the top. The issue that comes up in the Gemara is as follows. The Gemara wants to know, brings a braisa that wants to know, can you mix Kemach Kali with water on Shabbos? What's Kemach Kali? So Kemach Kali is flour made from roasted grains. They used to roast grains, grind it up into a flour, and you have this flour from this roasted grains. It's called Kemach Kali. And the Brice wants to know, can you make this mixture of Kemach Kali and water on Shabbos, or is that an issue of Melechus Lush? So the Brice brings a Machlokes Tanoim, and the Gemara actually says that this Machlokes Tanoim is really our Machlokes Tin Rebbe versus Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why we just did this big synopsis to start off tonight's shiur, because we need those two shittos. The Gemara here says our first qualification is going to revolve around Rebbe versus Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Starting with the shita of Rebbe, Rebbe said Lush is violated at stage one. When you pour the water into the flour, the water into the ashes, that is the definition of Melechus Lush. And says the Gemara, according to Rebbe, we're not going to permit you to make Kemach Kali with water on Shabbos. You want to pour the water into this roasted grain flour, that's going to be an issue of Lush, and we can't come up with a heter for that as of right now on Shabbos according to Rebbe. However, says the Gemara, working with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says Lush applies at stage two when you need it to mix it into a mixture, then we can come up with heter to make Kemach Kali, this roasted grain flour, with water on Shabbos. If, says the Gemara, if you do it with a Shinoi, if you do it in an unconventional, unorthodox manner, if you mix it in an unusual way, then we can permit you to make this mixture of Kemach Kali and water on Shabbos. And the Gemara spells out, what's the Shinoi? What exactly should you do to do it in an unconventional manner? Mara says you should do it yad al yad, meaning you should do a little bit at a time. Usually, if you want to make a mixture, so you'd like to do a normal amount in one shot for the sake of convenience. Says the Gemara, for the sake of a shinoi, do a little bit at a time. Mix a little bit of flour and water at a time, and then a little bit of flour and water at a time, etc., in order to make sure that you do a shinoi. But if you do the shinoi, then it's going to become permissible. So this is then our first qualification to Melechus Lush. We don't understand it yet, but the first qualification in the Gemara is that according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, somehow you can make roasted grain flour with a shinoi. If you want to mix roasted grain flour with water and you do it with a shinoi, you do a little bit at a time as opposed to a normal quantity, then this becomes permissible. So this is our first qualification to Melechus Lush. And the issue we have to figure out though is just what's the pshat? What's the explanation? Why is this mutter according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? And for whatever reason, it's mutter according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Why is it not mutter according to Rebbe? So that's the agenda for the next few minutes. So there's a discussion in the Mefarshim on this issue. We're just going to point out, we're going to go with the glot approach of the Rambam. The Rambam, as explained by the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadam, gives a very simple explanation of this Gemara, which is the way we're going to interpret this Gemara. the Rambam says the critical factor, which you really always have to ask, it's always the first question you have to ask when you analyze a lash shaila, and that is, the Rambam tells us that this substance of kemach kali is a lav bar gibel. Once again, we had our two substances. Sometimes it's a bar gibel, it turns into a cohesive mass. Sometimes it's a lav bar gibel, it doesn't firm up into cohesive mass. Says the Rambam that kemach kali, this roasted grain flour, is a lav bar gibel. Apparently, once you roast the grain, so that denatures the grain, and even though you turn it into a flour, it's no longer going to turn into a firm dough. That's what the Rambam says. Therefore, says the Magen Avraham, we now understand this first qualification. Because working with the Shita of Rebbe, so Rebbe's Shita was that Lush applies midaraisa even to a lav bar gibel. When you pour water into any substance, any type of solid particle substance, you violate melechas Lush, even if it's ashes, even if it's a lav bar gibel. So therefore, when you pour your water into the roasted grain flour, since that's an issue of Lush midaraisa, we can't come up with a heter for doing that with a shinoi. Doing something with a shinoi still aser midarabanan. We cannot come up with a heter to do this according to Rabbi, because according to Rabbi, we're dealing with an issue midaraisa. Pouring the water into this grain flour is an iser deraisa. We cannot come up with a heter to do with the shinoi. On the other hand, explains the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadim, working with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, we now understand the heter of shinoi. Because since we're dealing with a lav bar gibel, something that's not susceptible to turning to this cohesive mass, therefore, when you if we now introduce a shinoi, if we do it in an unconventional way, so that could be matir in iser derabanan. We're only dealing with a potential iser derabanan anyways. If you throw in a shinoi, we can permit that. So that then becomes our first qualification to melechas lash, and that is working with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. If you do melechas lash with a shinoi, if you do lash with a shinoi and we're dealing with a lav bar gibel, then lash is going to become permissible, because since it's a lav bar gibel, it's only aser mid derabanan. And if you throw in a shinoi, then it becomes permissible. So that is qualification number one. Any questions? Okay.
Yeah, there's a derecholik on the chasnei.
What is it, Penny? Of the chol? What are you asking?
Bar gibel is matur lecherchila.
One more time, please.
Are there those that would hold that a lav bar gibel is matur lecherchila?
Sorry about that. I was muted. A lav bar gibel being matur lecherchila. So pouring the water in might be mutter lechatchila. Since even if you mix it, it's only aser derabanan, pouring the water in might be mutter lechatchila. But mixing it's going to be aser derabanan. Okay. Yeah, good, Penny? Okay. Now, the poskim point out just an interesting practical application of the first qualification, and that is as follows. The shaila comes up, the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah bring up is as follows. Let's say Pesach falls out on a Friday night. The first day of Pesach sometimes can fall out on a Friday night. And let's say a person forgets to finish making the charoses before the Seder. You start making the charoses, you forgot to pour in the wine before the Seder. So the question becomes, right now, you know, it's Pesach time, the Seder's about to start, it's Shabbos already, can you pour the wine into the charoses and finish the charoses? What's the issue? It's a shiloh of melechas lash, that when you pour the liquid, this wine, into this solid, into this charoses, so you're mixing a liquid with a solid, maybe that should be an issue of melechas lash. So the poskim point out that as if we're going to be able to finish making the charoses in this situation, as of right now, is going to depend on this machlosin Rebbe versus Rabbi Yossi, and whether we can implement this first qualification. Because it goes like this, starting with the shita of Rebbe, so according to Rebbe, as soon as you pour the wine into the charoses, that is an issue of lash midaraisa. Anytime you pour a liquid into the solid particles, the solid food, small solid food particles, is an issue of melechas lash midaraisa. So according to Rabbi, we cannot let you pour the wine in, even with a shinoi. Even if you want to do a shinoi, you're still knocking it down from a deraisa to the rabbanan. It's still going to be aser. So according to Rabbi, we cannot let you make this charoses on Shabbos. Now, ultimately, when we get to our second qualification, we'll figure out how to do this according to Rabbi. But as of right now, in terms of making a normal charoses, Rebbe's not going to let you make a normal charoses because that would be an issue deraisa, or even with a shinoi, it's aser derabanan. As opposed to according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, says the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah, we can now come up with a heter. Because the Prima Gadim says that charoses is a lav bar gibel, that when you mix the wine with these nuts or the fruits, whatever you're making it out of, you're not going to get this cohesive mass. And therefore, since it's only aser midarabanan, if you throw in a shinoi, we can now permit making the charoses. So the post can point out that working with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, you can make this charoses on Pesach itself, on Shabbos of Pesach, by doing it with a shinoi. So that's just an interesting practical application of our first qualification here. And now we're going to come over to our second qualification. Okay. So the second qualification we have to Melachas Lash, and this is one of the most important ones because this is the most Halach Lamaisa qualification, is from the Hemshech of the Gemara, the continuation of the Gemara there on Kufnin Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara there on Kufnin Vav Amid Aleph, so we pointed out, the Gemara there had told us that according to Rebbe, you cannot make this mixture of roasted grain flour and water on Shabbos. This Kemach Kali, you can't mix it with water on Shabbos because that involves an issue of Lash Midareisa, so Shinoi is not going to help. Now, the Gemara then brings a contradictory brisa. That was one brisa, which said, according to Rebbe, you can't make this mixture. But then the Gemara brings another brisa. And in this brisa, this second brisa, the brisa says, Vishavan, everyone agrees, even Rebbe agrees, that you can make shasis on Shabbos. You can mix and make this shasis on Shabbos. What is shasis? Rashi explains, a mixture of roasted grain flour and liquid. They would take oil, vinegar, mix it with this roasted grain flour, and they created this dish called shasis. And Rebbe lets you make this dish shasis on Shabbos. The Gemara says, we now have a stira. On the one hand, we just got through saying how Rebbe does not let you make a mixture of liquid with roasted grain flour on Shabbos. On the other hand, the second brisa tells me that Rebbe lets you make shasis. How can Rebbe let you make shasis? Shasis is just oil, liquid, and roasted grain flour. So how could that become permissible? So the Gemara gives us our most important qualification to Melechas Lash. The Gemara says that we have to distinguish between two types of mixtures, a blila ava and a blila racha. What's a blila ava? What's a blila racha? So blila means a mixture. A blila ava is a thick mixture, and a blila racha is a thin mixture. Racha means thin. So the Gemara says like this. When it comes to a thick mixture, a blila ava, so then Melechas Lash applies mida araisa. Lash deraisa only applies when you make a blila ava, thick mixture. The Chazon Ish says a thick mixture means it's something that doesn't pour. Like if you have dough, you can't pour dough. So that's called a thick mixture. Says the Gemara, if you make a blila ava, that is lash deraisa. Rebbe would never let you make roasted grain flour, any blila ava of roasted grain flour, any thick mixture of water with roasted grain flour cannot be permitted. That is aser deraisa. On the other hand, says the Gemara, if instead of making a thick mixture, you make a thin mixture, a blila racha, which the Chazon Ish says is a mixture that pours. If it's a mixture that pours, let's say like cake batter, some watery, loose mixture, then Rebbe can permit you to make that on Shabbos. If it's a blila racha, Rebbe can permit you to make that because that's only aser midarabanan. A blila racha is only aser midarabanan. And since it's only aser derabanan, Rebbe can now permit you to make that with a shinoi. If you make a blila racha with a shinoi, since it's only aser derabanan to make this loose, watery mixture, if you throw in a shinoi, now Rebbe can permit it. Because as we just got through saying in our first qualification, as long as we're dealing with an issue on a derabanan level, then shinoi can help. Shinoi can knock it down from a derabanan to be mutter. Now, in our first qualification where we're discussing a regular thick mixture, well, then we're discussing an issue deraisa, Rebbe was stuck. Rebbe wouldn't let you make a thick mixture because that's aser deraisa. But now here in our second qualification where we're telling us that if it's a thin, loose mixture, it's only aser derabanan, well, now Rebbe can permit that with a shinoi. So this is our second important qualification because we are going to paskin, we're going to take Rebbe into account la'alacha, so we need to know how to be matir lash according to Rebbe, and that is that if you make a blila racha, a thin mixture, you pour in a lot of liquid, so it's a loose mixture that pours, then it's only aser derabanan. If you then throw in a shinoi, if you do it in an unconventional manner, that becomes permissible. So that's qualification number two. We good so far? Thumbs up, Penny? Okay, fine.
I do have a question.
Oh, please.
Any blila racha, doesn't it start off kind of as a thick mixture?
Okay, that is a great, great point. So the post can issue a very important warning about that exact point that Dr. Plow just made. And that is that halach l'maisa, when we get into the importance of making a blila racha, because we're going to take into account Rebbe, so you have to be very careful to pour it all in one shot. That enachanami, absolutely. If you pour it a little bit at a time, so then the first drop is called the blila ava, and that's a serious issue. So that point is totally pointed out by all the posts, and they warn very importantly that when we permit you to make a blila racha, pour it all in one shot to make sure that it, one big act, make it a blila racha. Excellent. Very good point. Daniel?
Yeah, just mitzad the svara and Rebbe, why should it make a difference? Ultimately, one merges the two, the song. terminology, so it's ultimately the same thing.
Okay, so this was Mordechai's question from last week. I don't necessarily have a good answer, but I pointed out last week that Rav Nevensol rejects the Eglay Tal's explanation of Rebbe because of your kasha, this kasha of you and Mordechai. So Rav Nevensol doesn't like Rebbe's hesber. The way the Eglay Tal was masber Rebbe was that Lush is about merging a liquid with a solid. So he's bothered. Rav Nevensol is bothered. So why by a blila racha, let's say, why should that be any different? I'm taking my water with cake batter. Why is that not an issue of Lush deraisa? So that's a very good question. That's why Rav Nevensol rejects the Eglay Tal. But Eglay Tal is Eglay Tal, so you have the right to work with him despite the kashas. But excellent. Okay, so now the big question, which we now have to analyze, and again, this is going to be halach lamaisa, is what's the shinoi? The Gemara tells us that it's mocha to make a bracha with a shinoi. So the question to ask now is, what type of shinoi would be acceptable when making this blila racha, this thin mixture? So the Gemara says like this, that the shinoi is to reverse the normal way of combining the ingredients. Meaning that if the normal way you combine the ingredients is you first put in the flour and then you pour in the water, so the way you should make this mixture is to reverse that order. First pour in the water and then to pour in the flour. If you reverse the normal order of ingredients, that's considered to be a shinoi, and that shinoi can then permit making this Isser Derabanan according to Rebbe. So that's the basic heter in the Gemara for how to make a blila racha according to Rebbe, that if you make it by reversing the normal order of ingredients, so then that becomes permissible. Okay. However, the poskim are bothered by the following issue. The question that comes up in the poskim is like this. What do you do if there is no normal way of combining the ingredients? The whole heter now is to make this blila racha by reversing the normal order. What if there is no normal order? What if during the week you combine the ingredients in any which way? There's no particular way that you combine the ingredients. So what do we do now on Shabbos? How do we make our blila racha on Shabbos? That's the kasha that the poskim debated. So this is a big time achlokus between the Taz on the one hand versus the Beis Meir and the Chok Yaakov on the other hand. What do we do? How do we make a blila racha if there's no normal way to make it during the week? So we can't reverse the order of normality. So how do we make a blila racha on Shabbos? So let's start with the shita of the Taz. So the Taz here has a chumrah. The Taz here says that if there's no normal way of making this mixture during the week, there's no normal order of combining the ingredients, then you cannot make this on Shabbos, that you cannot make this mixture on Shabbos, because the whole heter of this shinoi, the whole heter to make this blila racha is with a shinoi, by doing it in an unconventional way. Well, if there is no shinoi, then there's nothing to do. The whole heter is to reverse the normal order of ingredients. If you can't reverse the normal order, because there is no normal order, we can't permit you to do this on Shabbos. That is the shita of the Taz. And the Taz tells us some history from the 1500s, 1600s there, that in his day, there was this dish that people used to make of matzah meal combined with mead, that they would combine mead with matzah meal. And he says that in his day, there was no normal way of combining these ingredients. Therefore, he says you cannot make this on Shabbos. You cannot make this mixture even as a blila racha on Shabbos because there's no normal way of combining the ingredients. So we're going to take into account the shita of Rebbe. And so the Taz was not willing to be matzah making this on Shabbos. That is the chumrah of the Taz here in this discussion. However, the Beis Meir and the Chok Yaakov argue on the Taz. They say like this. They say that if there's no shinoi, there's no clear-cut shinoi in terms of how to combine the ingredients because you just combine them in any which way, we're still going to come up with a heter. We're going to come up with a shinoi that you can do to permit making this blila racha. What's the shinoi? Says the Chok Yaakov, the Beis Meir, you could do the shinoi from the times of the Gemara. The Gemara tells us on Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph that in their day, there was a typical shinoi that they always used. In their day, apparently, it was always normal to first pour in the liquid and then to pour in the solid. That was the normal way that they combined solids and liquids. And therefore, in their day, the shinoi was to first pour in the flour and then pour in the water. That was the shinoi in times of the Gemara, to pour in the flour or whatever you're making, and then to pour in the water. And therefore, says the Chok Yaakov and the Beis Meir, if you can't come up with the shinoi nowadays, if there's no atypical way of combining these ingredients, just implement the shinoi from the times of the Gemara. The Gemara, that worked, so you could do that today as well. So we have an interesting machlokas poskim now as to what do we do if we want to make some type of a blila racha, we want to make a lush mixture, and you can't make a blila ava, you want to make a blila racha, you make it a thin mixture, what do we do if there's no normal way of combining the ingredients? Is there something we could do? The Taz says that you're stuck, you can't make this mixture on Shabbos because there is no shinoi, whereas the Beis Meir and the Chok Yaakov say that you're not stuck. What you could do is just do the shinoi from the times of the Gemara. Back in the day, there was a particular shinoi, you put the solid in first and then the liquid, do that nowadays and you're good to go. And the question becomes, what is the hesber in this machlokas? What is the conceptual basis for the shita of the Taz? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of the Chok Yaakov and the Beis Meir? So Ben happened to give a beautiful hesber in this machlokas, Ben and David, but anyone else want to say something? Okay, Ben, I'm going to say over your hesber, but it's the slight variation in the nusach, if you don't mind. It's going to come down.
It's probably an improvement.
hopefully not going down. Okay, so it comes out like this. It's going to come down to a basic hakira here, a very important issue that comes up throughout the Masechta, really, when you're learning Hilchos Shabbos. Rabbi Sachs mentions this in different contexts a number of times. The issue is like this. We know we have this heter that making a blula racha, making this loose mixture, is aser derabanan and mutter with the shinoi. That the Gemara tells us that to make a blula racha with the shinoi is mutter. You need the shinoi because it's aser derabanan. But once you do the shinoi, then it becomes permissible. That's what the Gemara tells us. Now the question becomes, what's the nature of this heter to do this malacha derabanan with a shinoi? We have this iser derabanan to make this loose mixture in a regular way. You have a heter to do it if you do it in an unconventional way. And the question becomes, what's the nature of that heter to do it with a shinoi? Why does it become mutter when you implement a shinoi? That's the kasha. So there's a basic chakir now. There are two ways of understanding. Whenever this comes up, whenever this kind of issue comes up, there are two ways of understanding the nature of this type of a heter. And this chakira is going to be a very important afkamina in our machlokas between the Taz versus the Beis Meir, the Hezbrin, this machlokas. The chakira is like this. One approach you could take when you have this type of situation where matir something ali de shinoi, when you have a derabanan, or matir with a shinoi, is to understand that we're implementing the general classic heter to do an iser derabanan, a malacha ali de shinoi. We know that there's a general heter when you do a malacha ali de shinoi, that the iser malacha is susceptible to being downgraded when you do it ali de shinoi, and that could be why it's mutter to do a derabanan with a shinoi. We know that if you do a deraisa with a shinoi, that knocks it down to a derabanan. And in the same vein, if you do a derabanan with a shinoi, that can knock it down to being totally mutter. So that's one approach, which is to understand that the heter to do lash derabanan or other types of malachos derabanan ad shinoi is based on the general heter to do malachos with a shinoi. In general, if you do a malacha with a shinoi, that always downgrades it. If you do a deraisa with a shinoi, it knocks it to derabanan. If you do a derabanan with a shinoi, it can knock it to being totally permissible. That is one simple intuitive approach that everyone probably just assumed when analyzing this machlokas or this heter. But the truth is that there's a second approach that can be taken. There's a second understanding that applies in a number of places in Masechta Shabbos for this heter to do a derabanan with a shinoi. And that is as follows. See, why exactly did Chazal aser malachas lush on a derabanan level to make a blila racha? Why did Chazal prohibit making this loose mixture on a derabanan level? On a derais level, it's perfectly fine. Lush only applies when you make a blila ava, when you make a thick mixture. So why did Chazal decide to make Shabbos harder for us by prohibiting a blila racha? The answer is that Chazal were concerned that if we make this blila racha, we may come to perform a blila ava. That, you know, it's a slippery slope and it's hard to distinguish sometimes. And if Chazal permit you to do this blila racha, make a loose mixture, you may come to make a thick mixture and chas v'shalom violate the isra malacha derais. That's why Chazal obviously made this isra derabanan. So one could understand, and this comes up once in a while, that the heter of shinoi is mitam heker. It's based on being a heker, a symbol, a recognition, a reminder, that Chazal set down an internal heter, permissibility, to do this isra derabanan if you do it in a unique way, because that'll serve as a heker, as a reminder not to do the deraisa. That Chazal set down an internal, you know, destruct button, that our Isra Derabanan won't apply if you do it in a specific way. If we force you to do it Ayde Shinoi in a specific format, that's going to serve as a reminder that we're only matter in this situation and not other situations. That'll prevent you from the slippery slope. That'll prevent you from coming to do the Deraisa. So that's a second way of understanding the Heter in this situation. So we have a basic Chakir now on a Derabanan level. What's the nature of the Heter to do a Blila Racha with a Shinoi? When Chazal permitted you to do this with to do this Isra Derabanan with a Shinoi, what's the nature of that Heter? The first approach is to explain that it's the classic heter of the Isra Malacha with the Shinoi. The Isra Malacha is always downgraded with the Shinoi. So just like a deraisa goes to derabanan, a derabanan goes to becoming mutter. That is the first sign in our Chakira. And the second title is to explain that it's not the classic heter of Shinoi, it's the heter of a heker, you know, with a kuf. That's as opposed to a heter with a tav. The heter is a heker. If you have a reminder that when you're doing this Isser Derabanan, you do it in a specific way, that'll remind you not to come to violate the Isser Deraisa. Penny in Parakira, you have this Chakira by Gruf of a Ketumah, right? About what's the nature of the heter of Garfukatam. Is it a heker? Is it a symbol? So too here, that's the Chakira here. So Ben, you said the same thing. I just changed the lashon of Maris Ayin to the heker, but it's the same idea. So taking that Chakira, that's going to be the hezer behind this machlokes in the Taz versus the Beis Meir and the Chak Yaakov. So let's plug it in. Okay, we have a shaila here as to what do we do nowadays if there is no shinoi. The only permissibility of doing the Isser Derabanan is with a shinoi. What if there is no shinoi nowadays? There's no atypical way of combining the ingredients. Can we use the shinoi from the times of the Gemara? Back then, 1,000 years ago, they had a shinoi. Can we use their shinoi? That's a machlokes aposkim. And that's going to be tally on this Chakira. So let's plug in the two tzadim in the Chakira. If we start with the first tzad in the Chakira, if we explain that the permissibility of doing the Isser Derabanan of Lila Racha is based on the classic permissibility of a shinoi, of doing an Isser Derabanan with a shinoi, that the shinoi knocks it down, the Isser Malacha always downgrades the Isser Malacha, well, then we're going to be stuck in this situation. Because it's very nice that 1,000 years ago, it was considered to be unusual to make this mixture in a certain way, but a shinoi always has to go based on the societal times. Nowadays, it's perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal way of combining the ingredients. And that's not called a shinoi. A shinoi is defined in the here and now. A shinoi is defined based on the societal norms. And so if nowadays it's perfectly normal to combine this mixture in any which way, then doing the shinoi from the times of the Gemara is not going to help. Just like doing a shinoi from 500 years ago is not going to help. Doing a shinoi from 1,000 years ago is not going to help. You have to do a shinoi that is considered to be a shinoi right now. And therefore, you're going to have no heter. So that's the shita of the Taz. The Taz is understanding that this whole heter of shinoi is midin shinoi. It's midin doing something in an atypical way, downgrading the Isra Malacha from a derabanan to being mutter. And that only applies if you do a real shinoi. Doing a shinoi from 1,000 years ago is not called a shinoi. That's not going to be permissible. So that's the hezer behind the shita of the Taz. On the other hand, let's move over now to the second side in our Chakira. If the yisod of the permissibility of doing this Isra derabanan with a shinoi, it's not per se based on the concept of shinoi, of doing it in an unusual way, of downgrading the Isra Malach, but rather it's based on the concept of a heker, of having a reminder, that ultimately the whole reason Chazal made this Isra is to prevent you from doing an Isra Deraisa. And if you have a heker, some type of reminder, if we force you to do it in a specific format, and you know that you're restricted to a specific format, that's going to remind you that, oh yeah, I can only do it in this scenario and not other situations. So now we can understand the heter of the Beis Meir. Why is it motzed to do a shinoi from 1,000 years ago? It's not a shinoi nowadays. So the point is as follows, that you're right. In terms of hilchos shinoi, that would not be a good shinoi. A shinoi from 1,000 years ago is not going to downgrade the Isra Malacha. But what it can be is it can be a heker. Because the whole yisod of the heker is just being restricted in how you do this mixture. By not being able to do it in an unrestricted, carefree way. By being limited in how you can do it, that is the shinoi. The fact that you have to check your halacha safe and remember, what's the shinoi again? That the fact that you have to do that is the heker. The fact that you're restricted in how you make this mixture, that reminds you that you can do it in this scenario and not other situations, and that's what allows for it. So then we can understand that, yes, even though it's from 1,000 years ago, but the point is, since we're restricting how you can do this, you can only do this the way they did it 1,000 years ago, that is also a heker. Why does the dafka have to be a shinoi nowadays? The point isn't about the shinoi per se. It's not about being abnormal. The point is that you're restricted. You have to do it in a specific format. The fact that you're restricted in how you do it, that reminds you that you can only do it as a blila racha, not as a blila ava, therefore it becomes permissible to do the shinoi in the times of the Gemara. So that is the yisod machlokas here between the Taz versus the Beis Meir and the Chak Yaakov, a very important ongoing chakira on a derabana level throughout the Masechta, how to understand the hetzer to do an Isser Derabanan al yedei shinoi. So with that, we've concluded now our second qualification to Malachas Lash. So just to summarize the second qualification is to make a blila racha, this loose mixture with a shinoi, that Lush only applies deraisa to a thick mixture. If you make a loose mixture, Lush does not apply on a deraisa level. Daniel and Mordechai had a good kasha why that's so on a conceptual level, but be that as it may, it does not apply on a deraisa level if you make a blila racha. So if you throw in a shinoi, then it becomes permissible. What is the shinoi? Says the Gemara, reverse the normal way of combining the ingredients. If you do the liquid first, put the solid in first. reverse the normal order of ingredients. And the shayla came up in the postgame is, what do we do if there is no normal order? Is there something we could do? Says the Taz that there's nothing you could do. Says the Beis Meir and the Chok Yaakov, just do the Shina from the times of the Gemara. We pointed out that machlokas came down to a yisodistika issue about what's the heter of shinoi. What was the nature of the heter of shinoi? Why did that permit the iser derabana? Okay, any questions? Yeah, Ben. Sorry, Ben, you're muted. You're muted, Ben.
Sorry. So we wanted to say that the Taz holds that the reason Shinoi works here is it's a regular Shinoi, it's not Malachis Machshavas, and that's why.
Right, correct, 100%.
Mutter here. Right, but I'm looking at the Taz. He seems concerned about how, not about what the Shinoi is, but how people view the Shinoi.
Okay, so how do we talk inside?
To be concerned it's not Galoi Lakol if there's no universal Shinoi. So it sounds like that sounds more like Hecker to me.
Well, okay, so we could. Okay, you're backing out of your own Hezber here, but we could discuss that. But on a basic level, the point is too that the Shinoi is gauged objectively. When we talk about Yadua Lakol, a Shinoi has to be objective. So that's in terms of his Lashon. But we could discuss that afterwards. But that's a very good point. Okay, now. Based on the second qualification, says the Prima Gadim, we can now come up with a heter to permit making the charoses according to Rebbe now. So going back to our case with the charoses, the case once again was where the person forgot to pour the wine in before Shabbos of Pesach. The first day of Pesach falls out on Friday night. And the issue became, can you finish making the charoses on Shabbos? Can you pour the liquid into the charoses? Or is that an issue of lash? We said, according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, we're good to go. Just make it as since it's a lav maragibol, what you're going to do is you're going to mix it with a shinoi, let's say yad al yad a little bit at a time, or some type of shinoi in the mixing, and that will permit it according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The question becomes, though, what about according to Rabbi? According to Rabbi, so can we permit making the charoses on Shabbos? So based on qualification number one, we were stuck that when you pour the wine in, even though it's a lav maragibol, that's lash mida araisa. If it's lash deraisa, shinoi is not going to help. What can you do? Says the Prima Gadim, based on qualification number two, we're now going to come up with a heter, and that is make the charoses as a blila racha. Make sure that you make it as a loose mixture. Pour in a lot of wine, make it a very loose, liquidy mixture, and once you make it as a blila racha, then you can throw in a shinoi, and then it becomes permissible. So that is the Prima Gadim's solution for Rebbe. How are you going to make the charoses on this Shabbos? It's going to come out a little bit not so good. It's not going to look so good, but blame it on yourself. This charoses, if you pour in a lot of wine in one shot, make it a loose mixture, so then you can flip the order of the ingredients. Now, it's just interesting to note that the Mishnah Berurah brings down this heter of how to make the charoses according to Rabbi, but then in the Shaar Tzion, he points out that it's actually not so pashut, that although he brought it down, the halacha, it's not so pashut. Because the halacha is that we actually paskin, there's a discussion why we have the charoses at the Seder. We paskin, the reason is, as a zecher latit, in Tuf Ayin Gimel, so the Rama brings down, we paskin, the reason we have the charoses at the Seder is to remember the bricks that the Klai Yisrael had to make in Mitzrayim. And so the Rama says you're actually specifically supposed to make the charoses thick. Your dafka is supposed to make it thick in order to remember the bricks. So the Shaar Tzion, he questions his own heter that he brings down from the Prima Gadim. He says, it's not so pashut to let you make this as a loose liquidy mixture, because then you're losing the whole point of the charoses. The point is to be a thick mixture to remember the bricks. If it looks loose and liquidy, I guess it looks like blood, which is also good. Remember the blood, but in terms of remembering the bricks, if it's not so thick, it doesn't look like bricks. So Shaar Tzion says it's not such a pasha heter. That's the Prima Gadim's heter according to Rebbe, which the Mishnah Berurah does bring down. Okay. And finally, let's quickly go over. Yeah, Ben.
Just quickly, is it okay to add wine on Yom Tov?
So, meaning as opposed to Shabbos, you mean?
Right, we all saying about Shabbos, but Yom Tov would be fine.
So, all I can tell you is that the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah both set up the case as Shabbos of Yom Tov. So, it seems to be that on Yom Tov it's no problem. They're all makpid to set the case up as Shabbos of Yom Tov. You can't miss that. So, it's like, what about Pesach itself? Apparently, it's okay on Pesach itself. Okay. I think next year Pesach is on a Motzei Shabbos, so the Shabbos, I guess in Erev Pesach, you can't make that charoses. according to this. Okay, so let's quickly finish the third qualification of Melechus Lush. I'm just going to bottom line it. The Eglei Talm makes a diuk in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, a third and final qualification to Melechus Lush, and that is, it's mashma for the Shulchan Aruch Harav, if you look at the Maram Komas, I'm not going to spell the diuk, that he understood that according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, Lush only applies to certain specific liquids, like water, probably the Zion Mashkin, probably the seven legal liquids are subject to Lush, not other types of liquids. Other liquids are not going to be subject to Lush Midarais, like May Peros, like fruit juice. If you mix fruit juice with flour, that is not subject to Lush Midarais. That is the diuk that the Eglei Tal makes in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, there's no Lush Daraisa by May Peros, by fruit juice. Apparently, says the Eglei Tal, according to Rabbi, when you pour the fruit juice into the flour, that is Lush Daraisa. It doesn't matter what liquid you use. But according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, there's a new qualification. Our third qualification is that working with Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, Lush is limited to specific liquids like water and seems to be the Zion Mashkim, the seven legal liquids like oil or blood or etc. But it doesn't apply to other types of liquids like meperos, like fruit juice. That is the diuk that the Eglei Tal makes in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And the question becomes, what's the pshat? Why would Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda permit Lush on a deraisa level to other types of liquids, let's say fruit juice, and whatever we say in Rabbi, why is it not going to apply to Rabbi? That's the kasha that comes up. Anyone want to give it a shot here? You need a idea, but Penny, I feel like you have this one. Okay, so Eglei Tal says like this. He says that this is going to come back to full circle to the original hesber between Rebbe versus Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda. What was the original hesber in Rebbe versus Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda? Rebbe said once again, Lush is violated stage one when you pour the water into the flour, and Rabbi Yosi says it's stage two when you mix and knead that flour into a dough. And what was the hesber? Once again, as Mordechai told us, that the hesber is the sort of Lush mixing the liquid with the solid, or mixing the solid with the solid, merging the liquid into the solid, or merging the solid with the solid. That was the basic hesber in the machlokas. So the Eglei Tal says like this, starting with the shita of Rebbe. So once again, what's the sort of Lush according to Rebbe? Merging the liquid with the solid, pouring the water into the flour, that is the sort of lachas Lush. Says the Eglei Tal, working with the shita of Rebbe, there's no reason why Lush should not apply to any types of liquids. Who cares what liquid you use, water, fruit juice, anything. Anytime you pour a liquid into a solid, that should be Lush on a deraisa level. Who cares what type of liquid you use? However, moving over to the shita of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, so the Eglei Tal says like this. He points out that in various areas of halachas, there are a number of liquids that are not considered to be binding agents. In various areas of halachas, in Hilchas Chala, for example, so certain liquids are not considered to be binding agents, even though it looks like you made a dough, but it's not considered to be bound together as a dough. For example, fruit juice, may peros. They're posting that hold that if you mix fruit juice and you make dough out of fruit juice, so it might affect Hilchas Chala because it's not considered to be bound together. Even though it looks like it's bound together, it's not bound together al piden. Therefore, says the Eglei Tal, what was the yisod of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda? That Lush is about fusing the solid with the solid, fusing the flour particles together. That was the yisod of Melechus Lush. Why do you need the liquid? As a binding agent, as a hechi timsa, to bind the flour together. You're not going to get the flour particles to bind together unless you have that medium, the liquid medium. So you need the liquid medium as the binding agent. But the yisod is fusing the particles together. Says the Eglei Tal, he proves from various areas in halacha that aside from the Zayin Mashkim, other types of liquids are not considered to be a binding agent in halacha. May peros, for example, fruit juice. If you mix fruit juice with flour, you make it into a dough. Legally speaking, it's not considered to be bound together, and therefore you've not satisfied the yisod of Lush according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda. So you have to take his word for it about the rayas that he brings. He brings very nice rayas to this point. Rugged Shavar also says this exact point, that it's not considered to be connected. Other types of liquids are not called binding agents in halacha, and so according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda, there'd be no Lush on a deraisa level. So I just want to, so that we just concluded the whole malacha of Lush. I just want to do a quick 30-second synopsis and then point out the halach l'maisa very quickly. Just to summarize, today we had three basic qualifications of Melechus Lush. The first one was to make a lav bar gibel according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda. Mar told us that you can make this roasted grain flour with a shinoi a little bit at a time according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda. That was qualification number one. The second qualification was the heter of Bli L'Racha, make a loose mixture, according to Rebbe even. If you make a loose mixture with the Shinoi, you reverse the order of ingredients, that is the Bli L'Racha heter. And we discussed, what do you do if there's no normal order? Machlok is a poskim, we give the Hesber in that. And finally, the third qualification was the heter of the Eglital. He learns in Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda that there's no lush deraisa by other types of liquids aside from the Zion Mashkin. Now, just to quickly point out the halachah lamaisa. The halachah lamaisa of lush happens to be extraordinarily complicated. It's a very difficult halachah lamaisa. So I'm just going to say the quick bottom line. We're going to focus on the Ashkenazic psak just because the Shulchan Aruch has more to it. And I don't really know how to sfardim paskin, so I don't want to take the echrais for that. But just on the Ashkenazic psak, the Magen Avraham and the Bir Halacha, both basically paskin me'ikra din, like the third shita of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda from last year. So just to quickly point out, the third shita of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda from last year, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, according to Abaye, holds that when it comes to a bar gibel, like flour, lush applies the raisa at stage two. When you mix the water with the flour and knead it into a mixture, that is lush the raisa. By a lav bar gibel, like ashes, according to Abaye, which the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say, Rov Achronim Paskin, like, lush applies at stage one, Mida Araisa. When you pour the water into the lav bar gibel, Mida Araisa, lush applies Mida Araisa. So that is how the Mishnah, the Bir Halacha, and the Magen Avraham Paskin, Me'ikaradin, we pass like a Biosib Yehuda, as explained by Abaye, that by a bar gibel, it's stage two. By flour and water, it's stage two. When you mix it and knead it together, that's the raisa. By a lav bar gibel, it's stage one. Pouring the water into the ashes would be lush the araisa. Now, although we pass in like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda me'ikar adin, but the Ramah says that we're machmir to take into account the shita of Rabbi. That we try to take into account the shita of Rabbi, which means that you can never make a blila ava. That except for compelling circumstances, meaning if there are compelling circumstances, then we go back to the me'ikar adin. We could rely on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda in compelling circumstances, but barring compelling circumstances, the Ramah says that for the Ashkenazim, we take into account the shita of Rabbi to never make a blila abba, to never make a thick mixture. So halach lamaisa, in typical situations, except for when it's compelling, and compelling could be, you know, to make cereal for a child, or if a person's outdoors and has to use the restroom in dirt, like we just discussed last time. So there are heterim, but for the most part, a person should only make a blila racha, a thin mixture. And you're supposed to do a double shinoi. You're supposed to do a shinoi when you pour the liquid in to reverse the ingredients, and then a second shinoi when you make the mixture itself, when you mix it, to mix it also with the shinoi in some unconventional manner, like to crisscross it, they say. Instead of going in a circular fashion, they go shesi ve'erev, the up and, you know, up and sideways, you know, forward, sideways, instead of in a circular motion. So to mix it with the shinoi, that is how we paskin halacha l'maisa. There are more variations, but that's just the basic psak halacha on for the Ashkenazim. Now we pass like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, but we're machper for the shita of Rebbe. So in a typical circumstance, you're supposed to make a blila racha with a double shinoi. In compelling situations, like to make cereal for a child, etc. So then we can rely back on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda or other situations, and obviously ask your contemporary local Orthodox posek for how these things play out. So everyone should have a nice, wonderful Shabbos. Also, just to sum up, in terms of future weeks, so we're up to Melechus Bishul. Baruch Hashem, Bishul is a tremendous malacha. It's the third parak of Masechta Shabbos, so we're gonna people spend the whole zman on it. We're gonna try to streamline it and do it in a few weeks. I need 1 week just to prepare. Just Baruch Hashem, it's a very, very huge malacha. But I realize that after next week is Tisha B'Av, so I guess I'm gonna take 2 weeks to prepare, and we'll start up after Tisha B'Av. Shkayach. So everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Shkayach. Good to see everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Ben.